afternoon, I'd like to thank the scientific committee for the opportunity to present this paper. I respectfully acknowledge elders past, present, and emerging, and thank co-authors and participants who participated in this research. I also want to acknowledge that this topic may be challenging for some people and honor the lives and experiences of those affected by sexual violence. Many people combine alcohol and drugs with sex, particularly young people. Among university students in New Zealand and the United States, about 16 to 18% of men and 13 to 15% of women report being drunk at their last consensual encounter. Rates of sex while drunk appear to be similar among secondary students in Australia, although sexual minority youth are twice as likely than their heterosexual peers to report this experience. People generally believe that alcohol and drugs enhance sexual desire, arousal, and pleasure. And although positive experiences are the norm, intoxication can increase the likelihood of misperceptions of sexual intent, poor communication between partners, and lowered abilities to negotiate informed consent. Consent is generally defined in Australian law as free and voluntary agreement. However, people vary considerably in how they seek and interpret consent. Some imagine it to be an internal state of willingness, while others rely on indirect or unspoken cues, such as body language or physical gestures. And in recent years, there's been a shift toward affirmative consent, or explicit, conscious, and ongoing agreement to participate in sexual activities of any kind. According to Australian law, a person may be unable to give consent if they are substantially intoxicated by alcohol or any drug. Engaging in sex with a person who is too intoxicated to consent is considered sexual assault. To complicate matters further, it is important to recognize that consenting and wanting are two different things. Numerous studies have shown that people say yes to sex they do not want for all kinds of reasons. It is also possible that people might comply with an unwanted activity like anal intercourse within an otherwise consensual and wanted experience. These choices are often structured by gendered and social pressures, which can intertwine with alcohol and other drugs to influence the ways in which wanted and consensual sex is negotiated. Existing research on this topic has focused mostly on young people and university students, especially heterosexual women. Thus, our objective was to estimate the prevalence, correlates, and time trends over 10 years of lifetime experiences of unwanted sex when drunk or high in the Australian general population, exploring how patterns vary between men and women. To achieve this, we used data from the Australian Study of Health and Relationships. ASHER is an ongoing national cross-sectional survey with a random probability sample of more than 20,000 people in all states and territories. Dual-frame random digit dialing was used to achieve a representative sample, with the proportion contacted by mobile increasing from 0% to 80% in 20 years. Surveys are conducted via computer-assisted telephone interviewing, in which the interviewer follows a script and the survey has built-in logic. This produces better data quality because then interviewer, or self-administered surveys rather, because the respondent is talking to a real person and the item response rates, they're lower refusals. The main outcome measure was derived from the question, have you ever had a sexual experience with a male or female when you didn't want to because you were too drunk or high at the time? A total of 8,100 people in ASHER 2 responded to this question and were included in analyses. Multivariable logistic regression was used to identify factors associated with the outcome in ASHER 2, and I used backwards elimination of variables to select the final model. Binary regression was then used to compare the estimates to ASHER 1. All data were weighted and stratified by men and women. With regard to that stratification, participants were grouped into those two categories at initial contact based on their response to this question: are you a man or woman between the ages of 16 and 69? A significantly higher proportion of women in ASHER 2 had tertiary education than men, while a lower proportion had incomes greater than $83,000. Gender differences were also observed in other factors, such as received sex education, ever experienced forced sex, and use of drugs, including current alcohol use of alcohol above the NHMRC guidelines, which in this analysis was 14 drinks per women per week for women and 28 drinks for men. Overall, 16% of women and 10% of men reported ever having had unwanted sex while drunk or high. By age group, this experience was more common among 20 and 39-year-olds, especially women, and decreased incrementally to 60 to 69-year-olds. Sexual experience was also associated with the outcome for both genders, with bisexually active women most likely to have had a sexual experience that they didn't want to when drunk or high, compared to women only having sex with men or only having sex with women. This decreasing pattern was flipped for men, such that the outcome was higher in those who were homosexually active versus those who were heterosexually active. The final multiple adjusted model included socio-demographic factors, cultural and economic influences, and health-related behaviors and experiences. I've split these factors into different tables for clarity. For both men and women, unwanted sex when drunk or high was independently associated with younger age when surveyed and having had sex with both men and women. Other socio-demographic factors, such as country of birth and indigenous status, were not significant. With regard to cultural and economic influences, none of the variables shown were significant for men in bivariable analyses, and thus they were not entered into or selected in the final model. For women, not having a religion, using a dating app, and lower education and income were positively correlated with the outcome in bivariable analyses, but these effects reduced upon adjustment and in some cases flipped direction. The variance around those effects also widened, suggesting that other factors better predict the outcome. In terms of health correlates for both men and women, unwanted sex was associated with experiencing forced sex, having ever injected drugs, and having had an STI. Among women only, unwanted sex was associated with consuming more than 14 drinks per week and having ever terminated a pregnancy. Among men only, the adjusted odds of unwanted sex when drunk or high were 1.5 to 2.8 times higher in men who reported current tobacco smoking, recent psychological distress, and poor general health relative to those who reported excellent health. Here are the prevalence estimates for unwanted sex when drunk or high by gender and 10-year age groups in ASHER 1 and 2. Between 2001 and 2012, reporting unwanted sex while intoxicated became significantly less common among men, chiefly among 30 to 39-year-olds, where you can see the prevalence went from about 19% to 12%. However, it did not change significantly for women, except among 50 to 59-year-olds, for whom the prevalence increased from about 9% to 15%. In summary, 1 in 6 women and 1 in 10 men in ASHER 2 reported unwanted sex while intoxicated during their lifetime. Disproportionate rates were seen among young Australians and those with bisexual experiences, especially women. Both gender similarities and differences were found in factors associated with unwanted sex. The strongest association for both men and women was forced sex. The most marked differences were in relation to heavy drinking and pregnancy termination in women, and psychological distress and poor general health in men. Finally, levels of unwanted sex when drunk or high did not change since ASHER 1, unfortunately, for women and for most age groups. These findings are consistent with previous research, suggesting that factors relating to age, gender, and sexuality may have confounding effects on experiences, particularly for women whose sexual pleasure and rights in the intimate domain have historically occupied a subordinate position relative to men. Although cross-sectional, people who had unwanted sex while intoxicated reported significantly greater adverse health outcomes, both physical and emotional, in the case for men. As many people of all ages combine alcohol and other drugs with sex, there is a public health benefit for further research on how people can have safe and pleasurable experiences in these contexts. This study has a number of strengths, including its large and random probability sample and high participation rates. This means the results are robust and broadly representative of the Australian general population. However, our outcome may represent a confound of both consensual and assault experiences, and the magnitude of effects for STI history or psychological distress, for example, may be stronger in circumstances where a person is unable to consent. There are also biases associated with self-reported data, although telephone interviews can minimize this, and most participants in ASHER reported being honest in their answers and feeling no embarrassment. Finally, given that unequal rates of sexual violence are linked to social marginalization, it is vital for future surveys to work closely with trans and non-binary communities to ensure their visibility in and benefit from research. There's a talk tomorrow at 9:25 by Teddy Cook and colleagues on a landmark study on trans-led research, and I encourage everybody to attend. The Me Too movement has brought unprecedented focus on the issue of how power imbalances can make choice and consent murky at times. This is likely to be even more complex in the context of intoxication. It would be tempting to say that consent while under the influence is not consent at all. In fact, that is the position that most universities and organizations take. But being drunk or high does not necessarily preclude consent. Arguably, the public's health would be better supported and promoted if we engage in more meaningful, nuanced conversations about alcohol, desire for sex, and larger risk factors like gender norms and sexism. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellie.